Good afternoon, Chris.
So, Mr. Cohen, he calls these things social networking tools, and he calls them disruptive, which we always think of disruptive, that's bad, bad, bad. What does he mean by disruptive?
Well, if you look at the technology that has really impacted how we as a society, as an earth, if you will, communicate over the last 500, 600 years, the printing press was first. We know about Mr. Gutenberg. TV and radio kind of came in that second and third time frame, but all of them really required what they call an intermediary. A radio station like we are needs someone to broadcast. A TV station, again, you need someone to get the word out, to develop, and obviously someone to run that printing press. Not everyone knew how to do it. But with the technology and the internet, the cell phones, the PDAs, the intermediary actually is much less of a burden. And with something like 70 to 80% of the world that has a cell phone now, it's a lot different.
The platforms themselves, once created, become the intermediary rather than just the people. And so states, while they can influence by blocking or censoring, they can't fully control unless they're North Korea and never let it in the first place. And so what we're witnessing here is a set of technologies that connect people to information, i.e. new media, that connect people to each other and entities, i.e. social media, and then a whole new element of this, which is technologies that connect people to actual resources, be they financial like mobile banking, judicial like telejustice, education like distance learning, medicine or health like telemedicines. So technology has not only become a tool with greater utility as a means for empowerment, but it's also the technologies that we see today are really the finest example in history of tools of empowerment that don't require an intermediary.
Now, Cohen offered several examples of this, from the protests in Iran last summer, June 2009, to how terrorists communicate, to negotiations between countries where representatives can communicate back to their home country or to others in government immediately through their BlackBerry, through other PDA-type devices to get answers to problems. In fact, in Haiti, after the massive earthquake earlier this year, Cohen says one of the first repairs was to the telecommunications infrastructure because the government, the NGOs, other government organizations outside of Haiti needed that infrastructure, the cell phones, the internet, really to communicate effectively and get help there.
Wow. So one would imagine that these tools all change the way the State Department does its job, too, carries out diplomacy.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there's several examples of this, how it's impacting states' mission and the fact that the State Department's starting to recognize the impact that these tools are having. In fact, Cohen came up with a new word, a technopragmatist, and he explains what this means.
To me, a technopragmatist accepts the fundamental reality that this isn't DARPA creating the internet. The reality is that whether we like it or not, from a policy standpoint, Microsoft, Google, Cisco, Oracle, Facebook, you know, all these different companies are putting these tools out on the public domain. That's just the nature of commerce and 21st century market. And so from a government standpoint, we have two options. We can fear that we can't control it and thus not try to influence it. And by the way, if we don't try to influence it, all that does is give greater space and greater room to hostile actors who seek to use technology for nefarious purposes. Or we can recognize that the 21st century is a terrible time to be a control freak, recognize that we can't control it, but we can influence it. And there's no better time to influence it than when access is where it is today versus, say, when cell phone penetration is 80% or 85% or internet penetration is 60% or 70%, because, you know, we can actually be involved in bringing access under the auspices of education and health and very substantive activities.
Now, along the same lines, Cohen says state must also improve its craft to become more, if you will, straightforward using the technology, because in simple terms, what is diplomacy about? It's connections, negotiations, relationships. And through that technology, through social networking, through different types of communication, that diplomacy can become easier. Mm-hmm. Now, the other change that is happening is really around partnerships. And in some ways, for many years, partnerships were one way. State gave out money, USAID gave out money, and the NGOs, the other organizations took the money and used it. And it was many times a one-way communications. It's really moving to a relationship, to a two-way discussion in many ways, because non-government organizations, even private sector companies, he mentioned a bunch there, the for-profit, really are becoming playing a bigger role in diplomacy in terms of how it's growing. In fact, Cohen describes one upcoming change to the way the State Department represents where NGOs are working in a specific country.
What we're trying to do is build out a sort of mapped and cohered platform for Kenya where you can literally click on a map of Kenya or click on specific provinces and figure out who's doing what and have that be something that serves both the State Department as well as just the open public. And so it's interesting. I mean, it's a pretty difficult thing to do. I've actually had conversations with a variety of private sector companies that would love to be able to do this for their own purposes. So it's actually interesting to watch the conversations play out between government and private sector on how we're actually exploring this in Kenya.
Wow. Is cohered a word, by the way? I'm not sure that's a word.
It can be now.
Oh, there you
like
go.
Like techno-pragmatist. You should never be afraid to make up a word. That's what I was told as a young journalism student.
There you go. Any lessons that... So State Department is out there doing this, and they have a couple of smart people, including Mr. Cohen, out doing this. Are there lessons that other agencies can take away?
I think so. He says state, like many agencies, must not shy away from these technologies and do really a better job of understanding how they work and why they work. In fact, Cohen makes a historical comparison to drive this point home.
During the Cold War, we said the very same thing about the cassette tape. Remember Walkmans with cassette tapes? We didn't want to support the cassette tape or even take advantage of this technology or go anywhere near it because we feared that embracing the utility of this technology as something with a net positive, even though there were certain costs to it, wasn't worth the risk. And so failing to appreciate the fact that this was a private sector company or a collection of private sector companies innovating Walkmans and cassette tapes, we backed away. And not only did the Soviets use cassette tapes to propagate the communist ideology that we so feared throughout Central Asia and elsewhere, but unanticipated consequences. Had it not been for the cassette tape, it's very unlikely that Ayatollah Khomeini from his villa in France would have been able to achieve the kind of notoriety that allowed him to come back to such fanfare in Iran in February of 1979. So that's a very important historic case study. So these technologies are out there. Again, what I said at the beginning is they're shaking things up in ways that are good and bad. And from a foreign policy standpoint, there's no better time or no better opportunity than engage now when this generation gap exists, when the innovation gap that I mentioned exists before, where there's a high amount of energy on the part of the private sector, even wanting to understand how its technologies can be utilized or are being utilized. And so we're in this unique moment of time where we have maybe 5 to 7 to 10 years to really embrace this space.
And while Cohen focuses obviously on the State Department and its mission, I think there's a broader point he's trying to make. You can't ignore the technologies because obviously they're not going away. So agencies really need to figure out how to work with them, how to make your programs realize the benefits of Web 2.0, because you can't just make everything Web 2.0 and you can't shut yourself down either. And you have to see these tools more as an opportunity. Just like at one time having a phone on your desk or a computer as on your desk, people didn't see that as a benefit in the government until it took time for people to get there. And I think that the time is much shorter now with Web 2.0, but alas, the benefits also, you have to be forward-thinking enough to say, okay, I can see where maybe that could help us.
And the overall risk of trying these things, I mean, most of these, it wasn't like even with email, to roll out email took some expense. A lot of these tools, you can roll them out fairly inexpensively, try them on a small scale, see if they work in some form or fashion.
In fact, just real quick, yeah. TSA is a perfect example of this. You've talked about them a lot in terms of their blog.
Yeah.
And the other thing that Cohen talked about was the fact that 4 years ago when he came into government, in the last 4 years, the risk aversion has really decreased around these tools that he sees. Now, that may just be in the State Department and other agencies. You know, it took DOD well over a year to get their social networking policy out. But the point is that they are becoming more accepting and acceptable to use within each agency to complete their mission.
Yeah, well, and you talk about disruptive, the other disruptive thing of this, and I actually learned this from Conrad Cross, the CIO down in Orlando, Florida. This was years ago, probably 5 years ago, and he said they saw people taking their email from their orlando.gov.city, whatever it was, and sending it to their Gmail account because they had more access. So you're seeing people use these tools. Okay, you block it at work, but I can go home and I probably have a better computer at home than I do at work. So I'll go find other ways to get it done. So, but one of the challenges here, how do you have the right people to do this stuff? This is a fairly unique skill set.
Absolutely. And I think the State Department actually is relying on the people who use this technology most, the under 30 crowd. Sorry, Chris. I don't think you're in there.
No.
State has established an intern program where actually
I'm mentally under 30.
I won't go there. But State Department actually has established an intern program where college students work from home under what they call the Virtual Foreign Service Internship Program. Cohen talks about how a student in the Midwest is actually a virtual foreign service officer for the Baghdad Embassy when it comes to using these social networking tools. So obviously that's an internship program. He didn't get into the details of whether it's paid or not, but it's, you know, the college students who understand how to use it and and let's figure out, give us some advice, help us understand.
Yeah.
Now, he also points out that 60% of the population on Earth is under 30 years old, and he says they're fickle, they're technology natives, so who better to understand how to make an impact with these tools than those people that are using them?
Yeah. I've seen him speak, and in fact, he's written this book called Children of Jihad, A Young American's Travels Among the Youth of the Middle East. I read about six books at once, so I'm about halfway through it. I'll send the link over to Dorothy Rominski, and she'll have it pulled up on DoraBeckInsider.com. It's a really interesting read, and he's clearly a very, very smart guy.
It was a very impressive speech. You know, I'm very selfish. I'm always looking for the news.
Right.
But it really got you motivated. It really got you kind of – he's an exciting speaker, and I hope the clips, you know, kind of came showed that.
I mean,
the fact
great.
Just in terms of his energy, and he told some great stories we'll have to talk about another time.
Yeah. Amazing stuff. Thank you. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Thank you, Jason.